Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on October 13th of 2024 under the headline Dispute Over Indians' Land Lasted for 101 Years. This is part one of a two-part presentation of the McQuinn Strip story of the Warm Springs Indians' century-long quest to get back their treaty lands at Warm Springs Reservation. We'll finish up with part two in the next episode. Here we go. If there's an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest active land dispute, it has to belong to the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs Indians in central Oregon. It was no simple neighborhood kerfluffle, either. The amount of land in dispute was roughly 80,000 acres, close to 10% of the whole Warm Springs Indian Reservation, and the dispute burned hot for 101 years. But maybe it wouldn't count for the record, as the land was only in dispute for the first 16 of those years. The whole rest of the time was taken up trying to get the government to follow the law and give the stolen land back. Not until 1972 did Congress finally do the right thing and pass legislation giving it back, and even then there were still people in the government, notably the Forest Service, who didn't want to do it. Here's how it went down. In the 1850s, eastern Oregon was still in the middle of the Indian Wars as tribes like the Cayuse and Modocs battled to hang on to their lands by force. The tribes in central Oregon, though, didn't want to go that way. And they were trying to use the laws to fend off the settlers who were starting to pour into their lands, but it wasn't easy. The settlers didn't recognize the Indians' claims on the land as legitimate, so they'd just move in and start fencing things off. Joel Palmer, the Indian agent at the time, could see things were going to get worse. Every year, a new crop of settlers was pouring through central Oregon on its way to the Willamette Valley, and sooner or later, the valley would fill up, and they'd start grabbing pieces of Paiute, Wasco, and Warm Springs land. Palmer was afraid that if that started happening, the mellow good citizenship of the tribes would harden into bitterness and anger and another Indian war would start. So he presented a solution to them at a three-day council near the Dalles in 1855, a treaty with the federal government in which, in exchange for relinquishing their claim on about 10 million acres of their ancestral lands, the tribes would get clear and undisputed title to 900,000 acres of it. The tribes were not at all happy with this deal, but they understood that it was likely all they could hope for, and they were grateful to Palmer for facilitating it. They signed, and thereby was the Warm Springs Indian Reservation created. Well, sort of. When the tribes signed the treaty, the boundaries they were signing for had not yet been surveyed. The boundaries were described precisely enough to know where they lay, give or take 100 feet. The next step would be to get a surveyor to establish the line so that settlers would know where they were and where they were not allowed to stake their claims. It took a while, but finally in 1871, government surveyors Tom Handley and R.T. Campbell came out and mapped the exact boundaries of the new reservation. The problem was Handley and Campbell don't seem to have been very careful in their work. Or maybe they had plentiful assistance from a coworker with a name like Johnny Walker or perhaps Jim Beam. In any case, they muffed it pretty badly. Indian agent Palmer had enclosed a hand-drawn map when he sent the treaty back east for ratification, but these surveyors didn't even look at it. Nor did they ask any of the Indians which of the nearby mountain ridges they called the Mutton Mountains. They just picked a likely-looking set of promontories and started from there. Which was a problem, because the mountains they picked were a good distance south of the actual Mutton Mountains. So, starting from that point, the reservation they ended up marking out was a good 80,000 acres short. Specifically, a hefty strip of the northern end of the reservation and a narrower but still large spike-shaped slice of the western end. As a glance at Google Maps satellite images of the reservation will show, the disputed strip was some of the best land on the reservation, well-watered, flattish, and forested. The tribes immediately lodged a protest. But the federal government, even as it responded to the protest by ordering a new survey, promptly approved the Handley-Campbell-Jim Beam survey and started opening up the disputed lands for settlers to claim, which of course they promptly started doing. The new survey didn't happen until 1886 when surveyor John McQuinn did it. His survey was complete the following year, and it confirmed that the tribes were right. The earlier survey had been wrong. But by the time the new survey was done, a bunch of settlers had grabbed pieces of the reservation. They could be expected to fight furiously against any suggestion that they give it up. So that sets the stage. That is how the mistake was made. That's how it was identified and corrected on paper. And tomorrow in part two of this two-part presentation, we'll talk about the 101-year-long struggle by the tribes to enforce their treaty rights and get their stolen property back. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Say, are you an audiobook listener? And do you enjoy old pre-war pulp stories like Tarzan of the Apes and Conan the Barbarian and The Call of Cthulhu and stuff like that? Or do you like early Victorian penny dreadful fiction like Sweeney Todd and Varney the Vampire and Highwayman Dick Turpin? If so, you might enjoy the audiobooks I have out there in the world. The easiest way to find them is for the search for my name on audible.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.